Thank you, John. Praise the Lord. I got a phone call this morning about 8 o'clock. Pastor is having some lower back pain and can't hardly move, so lift him up in prayer. How many in here have ever had lower back pain and it's hard to move? My, look at the hands, but about 50%. So I found out that the pain that I've been through, it gives me a better ability to pray for others because your heart goes out to them. And so you lift him up in prayer this week. You know, Pastor, he would be here if he possibly could. So that gave me 2 hours to get ready. Oh, the Holy Spirit's always ready, I tell you. He had laid this message on my heart about 6-8 weeks ago, and it was just sitting there. I didn't know when I was going to touch it or anything, but the Holy Spirit, He's always there. He's always ahead of time. He always knows what we need and what is best for us. And I'd like to, the name of my message this morning is Finding Your Place or Your Function in the Body of Christ. Let's open with prayer. Father, thank you again for your sweet presence here, Lord, and for this time of worship. And our hearts and our minds are open to the Holy Spirit to teach, to guide, direct, and help us hear and listen what the Holy Spirit is saying to each one of in our hearts today. And Father, I pray you'll touch everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Finding your place. Well, as a good illustration, how many noticed how the choir and the song leaders led you into the worship this morning? They were functioning right where God put them. They are in their place. The ushers are in their place. Sunday school teachers are in their place. Every one of us, you're in God's place where He wants you this morning, whether you're sitting here or you're busy. Because the body of Christ functions everywhere. And He just wanted me to just encourage and give you some ideas if you don't know God's will for your life and you don't feel you're dead center of God's will. I just want to share some scriptures with you that the Lord's laid on my heart. Because I have to check myself out every year, make sure I'm doing what God's called me to do. And doing it with the right attitude. How many have had a bad attitude at one time or another in your life? Yes, we all have. But God is faithful. His attitude is love. Thank God for it. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:18. I'm not trying to take this out of context. It fits right in with chapter 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. But this is specifically to us as members. It says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased or as His purpose is for you." When He has set, that means He's placed you. The key is submitting to God so that He can place you. I think the most key thing that the Holy Spirit has taught me over the years is to serve God in humility. Learn how to serve under others and submit to those God has put over you. That's not always easy, but it's always right. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Now, obviously Solomon was a little blunt there. Solomon, God gave that man more wisdom than any other person on earth, except Jesus, of course. But he had learned some stuff. This was towards the end of his life that he wrote this, and he realized that he'd made a lot of mistakes. And he realized that everything he'd said was said. And what do I mean by that? When you meet your Maker, everything that you're going to say has been said. Everything that you're going to do has been done. So that helps us as the living to find out, am I saying what I should be saying? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Or am I doing what I want to do? Only you can answer that. That is something that you, in your heart, between you and God, is responsible for. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. That is probably one of the key scriptures. When I was 19, 20 years old, when I read that scripture, I realized that I didn't know what God wanted me to do or be. I had no idea. But I did want to please Him. So it says, whatever your hand finds to do, whatever you can find to do, find a need and fill it. There wasn't a youth program going on up in Colville, Washington at that time, so I helped get the youth program going up there. I helped start a youth program in the little country church, community church we were in. I found something that needed to be done, and I did it. That wasn't enough, so I went and started rest home services on Sunday night or on Sunday afternoon. I found a need, and I filled it. That's just a principle that you need to remember. Only God can tell you and show you what to do. But I can guarantee you, and the scripture backs this up, and that is that what God calls you to do will fit with what your talent is. Absolutely. God didn't bless you with the talent and then not have a place for it to function. It's interesting. I didn't know I could teach. Fact is, I tried and made a miserable failure in the children's department. I found out that just wasn't for me. So I had give up on that, ever being a teacher. And yet, later on, as I started another youth group, and the Lord then began to anoint my thinking process so that I could begin to share with others what God had put in my heart. That's all a teacher is. And every one of us in here, whether you think so or not, you are a teacher. Somebody's listening and following and listening to what you're saying and watching what you're doing, and you're teaching whether that's your calling or not. You're a teacher. You may be a husband, a wife, a contractor. You maybe you're doing many other things, but whatever you're blessed to do, God is going to use you in that area to touch other people's hearts. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Again, the Lord spoke to my heart when I was about 19 that I had to be a person of my word. If I started something, I stayed with it. It wasn't whether it was convenient or not. It was what God called me to do. And still not knowing what God called me to do, He still required faithfulness in it. I was blessed in the fact that my dad was a person of his word. If he would, back then, you go to a bank and borrow money, you didn't have to sign nothing. He just gave his word. And he kept his word. And that was his bond. And that's what we should be as Christians today. God keeps His word. How many know that God keeps His word for you? Amen. He's faithful. He's always there. He's never missed it. That's why you and I are here today, because He's faithful. But see, His word in you and His life and His love in your spirit man is faithful. It's just, to me, it's just an automatic thing when you give your word. When I said I do to my wife, I meant it. That's never changed. And ain't going to. I'm a very blessed man. But it's because I said I do and I did. Does that mean everything goes smooth? Nah. But God's smarter than you and I are. And He knows what to say and what to do. He knows how, I don't know how else to say this, He knows how to get past your impatience. How many of us got enough patience that you don't need any more? How many know God's Word said God is love, but He's also patient? His patience came into you when you got born again. Learn to use it. And it is a learning. Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So there's a message there. Being faithful. If you're unfaithful in the natural, you'll be unfaithful in the spiritual. I don't know whether you like that or not, but it's the truth. You got to be faithful. You'll be faithful in what your word is to in the natural. You'll be faithful what your word is in the spiritual. How many of you have promised God that you will serve Him all your life and that your life belongs to Him? If you've made that commitment, God will help you remember your commitment. Because it wasn't to anybody else, it was between you and Him. And that's how much He loves you. Praise God. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. You're not going to be. You are His workmanship. That means God is producing in you His workmanship. God is now, wherever you're at in your personal walk with God, God is producing His workmanship through you. Because the older you get spiritually, the more you learn to walk in the Word of God. How many of you know more now about God and His Word than you did when you first got born again? You're maturing. You're growing. You're growing spiritually. Well, let me ask the other side. How many of you are maturing in the natural from what you were when you were a baby? If you're not, there's something wrong. Well, it's the same way spiritually. Are you producing? Are you walking closer to God now than you have in the past? Are you keeping your word better now than you did in the past? I better leave that alone, hadn't I? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. And I didn't have that in my notes, so I'm going to turn to that while you do. I think he's probably already got that up there because I gave him these ahead of time. But Romans chapter 8, God has a plan for your position in the body of Christ. And this is how He planned to get you there. It says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those He foreknew. This is not predestination where it's only God's will whether you get born again or whether you don't. This has nothing to do with that. This has only to do with where you go spiritually once you're born again. God predestined that once you got born again, you would become like Him. And He's working that in your life right now. If you're worried about being in the will of God, just read His Word. Keep reading His Word. It gets clearer and clearer as you go along. How many have found out when you do something wrong, you know it? That's being led by the Spirit. Well, let me ask then, have any of you ever done anything wrong? So you being led by the Holy Spirit, whether you know it or not, you're being led by the Holy Spirit because He touches you when you're doing something that is bad for your spirit. Verse 30, it says, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. So there's a process going on. God's working that process in you and me right now. See, it doesn't And keep this in context. It doesn't matter where in the body of Christ you were put by the Holy Spirit. That is the important part for you. It may not be what you would like to do in the natural. But how many have found that with the Holy Spirit in your life, He is going to push you out of your comfort zone so you can get out of yourself and then you can let Him do through you what He wants you to do? If you only allow yourself to do spiritually what you want to do, you'll never be what God wants you to be. He wants you to be more than you are. He wants you to be you in Christ Jesus, reaching others, touching other lives, so that they can be blessed and they can be used just like you are. Their position in the body of Christ is just as important. You know, just because God gave the fivefold ministry to the body of Christ doesn't mean that they're up here and you're down here. It don't mean that at all. It just means they're functioning where God put them. You function where God put you. And there's rewards will be handed out for what you do, not for what you think you should be doing. Hallelujah. Everybody is important in the body of Christ. How many of you want to think less of certain cells in your body? You need them all, don't you? What if your hands decided it wanted to be a foot? You'd be out of balance. Can you imagine somebody walking one hand and one foot? Well, you're important in the body of Christ. It's important that you function with what God's called you to do. That's His will. If you want to know whether you're doing His will or not, just find something to do and see what God will bless you in doing it. It's also how you'll find out where you should be in the body of Christ, because you can't do everything in the body of Christ. You can only do certain things that hit and fit your position. That's how I found out how God wanted me to be a teacher, because I'd give that up. I wasn't going to go there. But I kept doing what God told me to do, even though I didn't want to. Then He was able to bless me. And there's another thing about getting out there out of your comfort zone. It helps you to stay out of the way while He's using you. How many know that you can't have your way and Him have His way at the same time? He has to have His way so that you can be blessed in what He's doing. Then you'll be blessed. I'm blessed all the time. Why? Because I keep trying to do what God's called me to do, and then I just get blessed for it. God said, get your mind off yourself, John. Get your mind on others, and others' minds will be on you. God will meet you through others being obedient to me, and He'll bless others through you because you're obedient to help and be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. Oftentimes our place in the body of Christ, our calling to serve Jesus, relates directly with our personalities and natural gifts. Amen. Many times God takes our talent and asks us to use them to glorify Him and let others know about Him. You know, that's exactly what the choir was doing this morning, is letting you be blessed by their obedience, and they led us into worship and praise. And it was glorious. It was wonderful. You weren't following them as a person. You were following their obedience to God, which was blessing you and helping you worship and praise God. And you've got something just from worship this morning that you wouldn't have got without the whole body functioning together and each one doing their part. Hallelujah. Your place in the body of Christ is just as important as theirs. We just may not have the talent to do what they do. And just because you got the talent doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to do. Why not? Because God knows what you need to do and where you need to be better than you do. God can use you as a janitor of the church just as well as He can use you as a preacher. It don't matter to Him. We have to function where we're at so that God can use that. I know this may not be an exciting message this morning. Sorry about that. But God wants you to be at peace knowing you're in God's will for your life. There's a peace that comes with that that don't come from anything else. Even if you're misunderstood, if you've done the best you know how, let God work it out. Don't worry about if people always understand you or not. How many of you understand everything that's said to you by anybody and everybody? Doesn't happen, does it? That's okay. That's the first place to give what was told to you that you didn't like. Give it to God. Because if you don't, you're putting yourself in a prison in your mind that you've got the key and it's on the inside of your cell and the key is there and you're holding yourself in the prison, not them. Forgive, let it go. It's God's problem. Did you know you were God's problem? In somebody else's eyes, you're God's problem. I know. I've been a problem to a lot of people. Sorry. And sometimes, it's rightly so, they come to me and say, John, why'd you say or why'd you do that? And I don't have an answer. Because the Holy Spirit had already got after me. They were right. And I said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I found out that's a good place to be and stay in humility, because then God can use that. When I try and force on you my ways, God told me real clear one time, He said, John, you don't have a right to put your convictions on anybody. But you have the right to live by your convictions, not anybody else's. What is the convictions that come on your heart when you're reading and praying and talking to God? His conviction will put on you how He wants you to live. If you don't read your Bible every day, you're missing it. I'll put this dare out there again. I've done it hundreds of times. Spend as much time reading God's Word as you do feeding your face. Guarantee you, your thought processes will change. You know, on this old saying, and I got to be careful here because I don't want to offend anybody, but you are what you eat. Ouch. But that's true spiritually. You are what you eat or what you don't eat. I don't want to be called a lightweight spiritually. I want to live the Word of God so that people see that I'm doing the best I know how. God does not want our talents to be used to bring honor and glory to ourselves, as so many people do. Rather, He wants us to be conscious of Him as we use our talent to bring Him all the glory, honor, and praise. The Holy Spirit honors you and blesses you as you're doing what God's called you to do. Because as you honor and praise and glorify God in everything you do, His glory then circles right back around through your spirit, because you're a part of the body of Christ. The blood, how many know that the blood that's in your head also functions through the rest of your body? Goes through the feet, every part of your body. That blood functions through there. And spiritually, it's the same way. He's the head, we're the body, and what's in Him is in you. When you got born again, the fruit of the Spirit was deposited in your born again spirit. So when you walk in love, that love flows through the whole body. Walk in peace, joy, forgiveness, patience, kindness. All that fruit functions through you and me, and it's a blessing. How many of you can tell when somebody's mad? Notice the difference in the body language. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. Oh, yeah. And you know, nobody has to get after me. The Holy Spirit's already convicted me. I know better. And as soon as I get over my pity party, I'll quit. Anybody in here never had a pity party? I think we all have. The secret to walking in humility and being in where God wants you is in serving. Serving ultimately reveals your position in the body of Christ. It does. Keep finding places to serve in the body of Christ until you find your position. Very few of us are smart enough to hit it the first time. We have to keep working at it. Keep serving. Serving promotes growth because it exposes attitudes and motives. Ouch. How many have had an attitude? Sometimes we have an attitude so bad, it's an attitude against God. It's capable of doing that. But most of the time our attitude is against people and we think, well, that's not the same as against God. But it is. How can you have an attitude with my head but not the rest of my body? You can't. When you got an attitude, you got an attitude. And it's everybody around you knows it. Serving is your response to Jesus for what He has done for you. Serving. Have you got a servant's heart in response to what Jesus has done for you? Serving fulfills you. It does. When you've done what God's called you to do, you have a peace that nobody else can give to you. Only the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the next one is your love for Jesus is expressed through service to the body of Christ. And that is true. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And God then blesses you. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for your blessing. I'm looking for God's blessing. Because that's most important. But it's how I serve you is where I get God's blessing. Well, He's got that tied up tight, don't He? How we serve one another is how we're serving the Lord. Doesn't always feel good, does it? But that's okay. Seek not a ministry, but rather seek to minister. The world is full of people who need help. The spirit of a true servant does not clamor for recognition. A servant does not need a stage or a spotlight to do his work. He only needs to love God and be willing to spend and be spent serving others. Boy, that's easier said than done some days. How many of you have ever had an attitude when you get up in the morning? Yeah. Sometimes we'll have an attitude in the morning and we don't even want to look in the mirror because we don't like what we see. Of course, maybe you've never had that. I certainly have. I have to deal with it. Because you know the first one you'll take it out on is the one you love the most in this world. That ain't fair. They didn't do anything. They're not the cause of your problem. You are. Ouch. So the very first step in discovering your place and function within the body of Christ is to renounce all self-will and self-determination and trust God to produce in us the divine motivation of function according to His predetermined purpose that He has ordained for each one of us as individuals. God has ordained your position in the body of Christ, but you have to go to Him and to His Word to find where that position is and find that talent. God is going to use the talent that you are born with. He's not going to try and cross-grain you where, no, I don't want you to do anything you want to do. I want you to only do what I want you to do. Well, His want is lined up with your wants. What you're best at is what God wants to anoint. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 12. Let's start with verse 1. And I don't have a lot of time left, so I'm just going to stay in Romans 12:1, but I am going to read it to you in the Amplified. They don't have it on record back here yet, so it's not going to be that way, but just listen to what it says. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God. How many have had the mercy of God extended to you? Yes, we have. Every one of us in here, we've had the mercy of God extended to us. But in view of all those God's mercies that have been extended to us, we make a decisive dedication of our bodies, presenting all our members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Starts with you and God first, doesn't it? See, that's what Paul's trying to get across here. He's saying, hey, this is between you and Jesus, how you act and how you do things. And then through that is how we reach and touch others. Verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world or this age. Don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind. By its new ideals and its new attitude. How many have noticed that your natural attitude and your spiritual attitude are two different things? Because when you get into your spiritual attitude is to be governed by the Word of God and by the presence of God. And that doesn't always fit where we want to go in the natural. Because our natural wants to take it out on somebody first and then I'll go back to my spiritual. I'm not the only one that does that, am I? So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. That kind of sews things up in your trying to decide what is best for somebody else, for God's will. He didn't tell you what His will was for their life. He told you what your will is supposed to line up with His will. And our attitude, it's to be lined up with Him first. Is it better to go to somebody with an anger attitude, or is it better to go with them in the love of God and your heart being changed where it belongs? Yeah. Are we thinking like Jesus, or are we thinking like self? Paul put this pretty straight. Romans 12:3, for by the grace, the unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought to, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. If you've been in God's Word, God has given you and multiplied your faith in Him so that you can walk with Him according to His Word in your life. God's not going to come and talk to you about me. He's going to talk to me about me. He's going to talk to you about you. If God shows me something, I'm very, very careful whether I say anything to anybody or not. Only if I have His okay. And it's then, if God has given you a part of that ministry to share with others, then you need to do it very humbly. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care about them. And that their position in the body of Christ is the most important thing that you want for them. Because you don't know God's perfect will for anybody's life. What He gives you may be just one small part to encourage somebody, never to tell them what to do and what not to do. Unless you have that gift of prophecy that God might use through you once in a while, that's just a rare thing. Because the Holy Spirit is who leads you. Prophecy is great when God speaks to you through a prophecy. But knowing the will of God for yourself on a daily basis by the Word of God is the best thing that to be led by. To be led by His Spirit in the Word. In Romans 12, verse 4, it says, "For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs, members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use." So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Just like a family. When you're in a family, you depend on each other. You trust each other. You trust that they have your back. Not just being critical. That's easy to do. But if you don't criticize yourself before you criticize others, you really don't have anything to stand on. Because the Holy Spirit's the only one that's right all the time. How many have had the Holy Spirit correct you? He seems to know how better than we do, doesn't he? Verse 5. So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ the Messiah, and individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on one another. We have to have each other's backs. We have to have each other's good at heart. We want to help. We don't want to hinder anybody. And that's an area that you have to know your feelings. You can feel somebody should do something, but that doesn't mean that's what God wants. How many of us have found out that, you know, sometimes it's easier to plan somebody else's life than it is yours? By laughing, I can tell you kind of agree with that and have had that problem. If they would just line up with my thinking, we'd be along fine. Then find out that the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily agree with you. He knows what's best for each one of us. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, "So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ the Messiah, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent upon one another." I like that. Mutually dependent upon one another. What will happen if you take one arm and just put it out by itself and you never attach that arm to you? What's going to happen to that arm? It's going to die. You can't function without the body of Christ. Not function correctly, because God has made us to depend on, encourage, and help one another. Some days you need help, some days somebody else needs help. How many have a perfect life? You don't have any problems? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, but see, you wouldn't need each other if that was so. How many cells do you have in your body? I don't know how to count them. But every one has to depend on the other one. With any of them gone, you're not going to function right. And it's the same way spiritually. We need one another. We need to appreciate one another, encourage one another, be a blessing to one another. Having gifts, faculties, verse 6, talents, qualities. Every one of us, you have talents and qualities that fit where God wants you in the body of Christ. Each cell in your body helps the other. If one cell in your body gets out by itself, what happens? Dies. We can't be alone. Isn't that good? Well, I know I don't like some of the cells next to me sometimes. How about you? Huh? Trouble is, they're the ones you need right now. Oh, shut up, John. Verse 6, having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us. Each one of us has a grace given to us that functions in the position we belong, and it will not function correctly anywhere else. How many of you have said something and wish you hadn't? You were trying to function where you didn't belong. Then you get to go ask forgiveness. Makes you feel good. Huh. Having faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to teaching. Find out your position in the body of Christ. Paul don't list them all here. He just lists a few. Because every position in the body of Christ that needs help, it needs the other part of the body with it. Which part of your body are you willing to give up? You wouldn't function correctly if your whole body wasn't there. Well, it's the same in the body of Christ. We need each other. We need each other's strengths. Verse 7, he whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, to his exhortations. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. And he who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Do you realize that you can't do all of them? You can only do your part. There's no part of your body that functions all by itself. It takes the whole body, every cell in your body, to function the way you should. And that's what God wants us to do. Function together, love one another, serve one another, help one another. His verse 7 again, his whose gift is practical service. Oh, I like that. That fits about almost all of us. We can all do that one. I better not say that. Verse 8. Who exhorts, encourages to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who encourages, do his exhortation with strength and encouragement to people. You know, there are people in here, different ones of you in here, that's your blessing. That's your call. You exhort, or in other words, you encourage people. You bless them. Share something to them to bless them. That's a blessing that every one of us need. How many of you have at one time or another needed encouragement? Absolutely. And there are times when you don't know that you need encouragement. But somebody will come and say something to you, and you say, wow, that felt good. I needed that. And you're just blessed. Thank God for it. We need one another. What cell in your body can get along by itself? Not a one. No cell lives on its own. They always have to have those around it. Verse 9, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. You give because that's your area. And the key thought this morning was functioning, your place of function in the body of Christ. For many, that's hard to find. Because you're always unsure of what part of the body of Christ you should be. But it's not as hard as you think. Do what you feel you need to do and watch the Holy Spirit bless it. Just be a blessing. And God will bless you and lead you into that. Get busy and do what you can to help others. It'd be interesting if every one of us in here did not leave a service until you had encouraged somebody. Think about that. Before you leave service today, encourage somebody. Not because you feel like it, but because you want to be a blessing to them. How many of us need encouragement once in a while? Absolutely, we all do. We need each other. The body of Christ has to function as a unit. Verse 9, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Let it be the real thing. You can't love and hate something at the same time. If you walk in love, hate can't get in. I may have found it's hard to walk in love when you're irritated at somebody. Yeah. I think we all have that problem, don't we? Yeah. In other words, God's telling us to deal with yourself before you help somebody else. Oh, I better not go there. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. We are all members of one family. We're all born again. Know Jesus. So you're a member of the body of Christ. We're all to help one another and encourage one another. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family. Verse 11, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Well, you can't burn with the Spirit if you don't go around Him. In other words, you've got to spend some time with Jesus to keep that fire burning. He's the starter, and He'll keep it going in you. Rejoice, verse 12, and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. All of these things that are being said, and we're running out of time, but all of these things that are being said is to encourage ourselves in the Lord so we can be what God's called us to be. We draw encouragement from one another, but our powerhouse is in who we are in Christ. And that's where you get the power to do what you've been called to do every day. You know, it's wonderful to be around each other on Sunday morning. I love it. And you draw from one another. But God wants you in a position where you can give all week long. He doesn't just want you giving out. Because there's a lot of people out in the world that need your love. They need your strength. They need your help. And you get tanked up on Sunday or every day, actually. Every day you read the Word of God. Every day you spend some time with the Lord. Every day you get stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you have to give, the more you can give out and help those that you come around. Because you're going to come around people that need what you got on a daily basis. How many have been around people during in your job or around shopping or anything else that they're down all the time? You can tell that they're having a hard day. They need you. Just a smile, something to encourage. Ask God how much of a blessing you can be tomorrow when you go to work or wherever you go, whatever you do. Ask God to help you be a blessing to them and watch you get it in return. How many of you found out that when you do what God's called you to do, you get blessed? Because He's now blessing you through others. That's the wonderful thing about the love of God. Hallelujah. And I could go on and on. There's a lot in that chapter, and there's a lot of Ephesians about serving and doing what God's called you to do and functioning in the body of Christ and finding your place in the body of Christ. There's a scripture, and I don't remember where it's at, but it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's the simplest scripture you and I can have as a function in the body of Christ. Just do what your hand finds to do. See a need, meet it. If you can do it, be a blessing. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for every one of your people that's here today. Father, I trust your Holy Spirit has encouraged and blessed and strengthened each one. And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that they would give their heart to you, Lord, and let you be Lord of their life so that they can enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding, and that your will be done in every one of our hearts and lives, Lord. Is there anyone here that would like to give your heart to the Lord and know Him as your Savior? If you don't know that yet, if you just raise your hand, we have people that can help you and take care of that. All right. If there's other things that you have need of prayer, you're welcome to come up as we dismiss everyone. God bless you, strengthen you. Remember Pastor in your prayers. And knowing God is touching his heart and life, the more prayer, the better we are. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for these precious people. Thank you for their hearts, Lord, to serve you and to be a part of your family, and we are. Lord, I pray you bless them, strengthen them, keep them safe. And Lord, that they'll be blessed and anointed this week as they serve you wherever they're at, whatever they're doing on their job, whatever's happening, Lord, we're reaching out and touching other lives that they can be blessed in you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.